I want to take a minute to thank Joel and the staff for inviting me to speak this morning. One thing I miss most about being retired is not being able to preach. And I was going to suggest to John, too, that we change the words of the anthem this morning. The anthem reads, "Consider the lilies and how they grow, blossoming there in the field." It would rhyme so much better if we said, "Consider the lilies and how they grow, blossoming there in the snow." A word of prayer. Loving God, I thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your care. And pray now that as I believe you have spoken to me, may I speak to this congregation of your people. And may we learn and rejoice in you. Amen. When Jean and I were first married 52 years ago, 52 years and 2 weeks, we used to take time before we had kids to every once in a while just go for a drive out in the country. Coming to some side roads in BC, we would say, "I wonder where this road goes." And we would go down it and explore it. Somewhere interesting, somewhere we've never been before. At times the roads were interesting, showing us scenes we had never imagined, showing us farms and fields that were very enjoyable, sometimes ending up at a dead end, sometimes at a farmer's locked gate, someplace where the road simply ended. And we had to turn around or back up and then continue on another road. Come to think of it, we've done the same thing very recently. I think it was in November we decided to explore some of the roads in rural Saskatchewan and discovered that some of the gravel roads in Saskatchewan are really mud roads and not gravel roads, as those of you that saw my car after that trip can testify. Roads are interesting both in our lives and in the stories of Scripture. We have just concluded the Lenten season and are now in the second week of Easter. It's quite common for evangelical churches to omit the observance of Lent. As a child in a strict evangelical church, I really did not know what Lent was all about, except for the jokes about what we were giving up for Lent. But later in other churches, I came to see the reason for it. And now I've come to greatly appreciate the meaning of Lent. And we often refer to Lent as a journey to Easter. Moving from where we were to where we should be, to the celebration of the resurrection of the Christ. But even after Lent, the journey goes on into Easter. A great deal of the gospel story has to do with roads. Journeys from one place to another, not by car or by plane, but generally on foot. For Jesus in his ministry went from place to place in Galilee, later in Judea, preaching, teaching, healing, never really staying in any single town or village. He was, I suppose, on the road again. The gospel story also has to do with roads in another sense. It is interesting in the different roads that people took to come to Jesus. Some of these people took a particular road on purpose. They were trying to find Jesus. Others took a road for another reason and only met Jesus along the way by accident, so to speak. And on another occasion, at least two men took a particular road thinking it led away from Jesus, only to have him overtake them as he walked and stay with them until they reached their destination and the renewal of their faith and understanding. The first road was a road that was taken on purpose by men whose hope it was to journey to the place where Jesus was. And thus we see roads at the beginning and the end of the story of Christ. And this is the road of human aspiration. The people we call the three wise men, I don't know if there were three or 300, but they call them three wise men. Watchers of the sky had seen a new star in the heavens. They had interpreted it to be a sign of a very special birth, which they believed to be a sign that the promised Messiah of the Jews had come. And having seen the sign, they resolved to do something about it. When they set out from their homes in the east to find the place where the infant king had been born, there was only one road to take, and some scholars say it was a very, very ancient road. That was the great road that threaded its way for the entire length of the fertile crescent from the Euphrates in the east to the valley of the Nile in the west. It was the oldest road in the world, already ancient when the children of Israel followed it across the wilderness of Sinai in their flight from slavery in Egypt, heading northward toward the promised land. As early as that, it had a name, the King's Highway. Sometimes even the old roads are valuable in getting us to our goals. If the wise men came to Jesus by a road that other men had made, so do we. Neither you nor I discovered the way to Christ for ourselves. We were shown the way by others. Perhaps we were shown the way by our parents. And I am very, very grateful to my parents for such a case. Or perhaps by our pastors, Sunday school teachers, by true friends. And they in turn had been shown the way by others who had gone before. The wise men knew the road to Jesus. And it is important that we who know the road show it to others. As we have been led, so let us lead. For others can only know the way as it is revealed to them by us. That is why it is important for us to be able always to give a reason for our faith and to share it with those amongst whom we live. The second road might be called the road of forgiveness. It's found in Luke 10, verses 30 to 36. A certain man, said Jesus, went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves who abused him and stripped him and beat him, left him, presuming him to be dead. A certain Samaritan, on his travels, came to where the man was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him, went to him, bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine, placed him on his own beast, and took care of him. We must remember that the Jews hated the Samaritans. A good Jew would have nothing to do with them, and if he had to speak to a Samaritan, he would spit on the ground before speaking. And this story was being told to a crowd of Jews. The masterpiece of storytelling was created as an illustration of the second of two commandments on which Jesus based his teaching, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus believed that love of a neighbor was the key to the solution of the major problems that beset human society both then and now. Injustice, inequality, discrimination, prejudice, denial of basic human rights of life and liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And he gave himself to the kind of life that has been called the life lived for others. He also believed that the brokenness of the human family could be restored by means of forgiveness. For forgiveness is basic to the life of the Christian. Forgiveness of self first. For so often we fail to forgive ourselves, we hold things against ourselves. Remember, God has forgiven you, and who are you that you should do better than God? The forgiveness of others. For all the many slights and grievances we hold against those who we believe have hurt us. But the source of forgiveness must first of all be within ourselves. For if we cannot forgive ourselves, we must always withhold forgiveness from others. And we must remember the words of the prayer that we spoke earlier. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So this story is told to illustrate that even hated enemies could, can, and should be forgiven. We usually think of this story in terms of the charity of the Good Samaritan. But is there more to it than that? Is there not something of the gospel in it? We have been set upon by the forces of evil that surround us. We have been beaten, stripped of dignity and all that is good. And Christ has come and found us lying in the ditch, unable to help ourselves. Then he has moved to help us, to restore us, to lift us up from the miry clay and set our feet on the rock, all at the cost of his own life, a fact that we have been reminded of over and over during the last few weeks of Lent. We were his enemies. And yet he loved us, saved us, shed his own blood to make us children of God. Thanks be to his name. The third road by which people came to Jesus is the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, what we might call the road of sharing. Jesus said, "This is what I told you when I was still with you." And then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. It was on that first Easter, toward evening, that two of Jesus' disciples were going home, walking westward from Jerusalem toward the little village of Emmaus, facing the setting sun. Their hearts were heavy with grief, for they believed that the crucifixion of Jesus had ended once and for all everything that he had taught. Everything he had stood for had been swept away. I am sure that many of us have experienced the same disappointment in the events of life. I had someone close to me tell me that in the previous year, everything had gone wrong. His marriage had dissolved. He had tried to go into business, but that business had failed. The work he had done for many years had come to an end as he was forced into retirement. Everything was wrong. And for a few weeks, he had even trouble even thinking straight because life was against him. And I'm sure the disciples on that road were so overcome by grief that they were not even thinking straight. As a result, they did not even recognize Jesus on the road, as I am sure I would not have. They had seen him killed by crucifixion. They knew he was dead. Perhaps they'd even seen his body laid in the tomb. The very concept of recognizing him as a living person was beyond their capabilities. They had more to mourn than to share the conversation with a stranger. Only when they reached their home, and in Oriental courtesy, they invited the stranger to stay for the night, to come inside and share the evening meal, to partake of their simple fare, and fellowship with them because it was late. And then, only when he took the bread and broke it, and I imagine he spoke as he shared the meal. Some people say this is not a sacramental meal, but I believe it was. Share the meal. This is my body. This is my blood. Only then did they recognize him. I believe it was the way he broke the bread. The way he spoke. It looked and sounded so much like that evening in the upper room. It was him, and they had not known it. Then he vanished from from their sight. This loveliest of all the resurrection stories means that whenever the followers of Jesus continue to live the shared life of love which he taught them, they discover that he is still very much in their midst. In a very real sense, that table in a house in a village near Jerusalem was the microcosm of the Christian church, the one institution in the world whose purpose is to call men and women to live the life shared in love. And that is one thing that we as a church and as individuals cannot do on our own. We need help. We need the indwelling Spirit of God to help us in our efforts to share with the world the truth of the gospel. We need to recognize the risen Christ as we share with one another. Three roads. The road of human aspiration, sages of the East seeking the newborn King of Judea, following an ancient road, seeking and in spite of disheartening detours, finding the newborn Messiah, the King of Kings. The road of forgiveness, where a hated Samaritan offered assistance to a Jew, showing healing and support, where he might just as easily have passed by on the other side as two others did. The road of sharing, where men in deep distress were reassured as the risen Christ shared with him the good news that Christ must have suffered for the salvation of all people. But there is one vital aspect of any path we follow. And that is that whichever path we follow, we must trust in the Holy Spirit to lead us into truth. We cannot do it on our own. We need guidance and direction to go where God wants us to go. So may we echo the words of David in Psalm 25, "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation." We need the constant guidance of the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us in true paths which get us somewhere. Otherwise, we are apt to end up at some farmer's gate and have to turn around and to go back to where we started. And then, when we have gone back, let God again put us on the right path, the path of truth. Amen. Let us pray. Lead me, Lord. Lead me in your righteousness. Make your way plain to my eyes, and then give me the grace, the wisdom, the strength to follow wherever you may lead. Amen.